Hi, this is Jesse Gilbert. I'm trying to do a little audio recording on my legal situation, just to give some background to anybody who might want to participate in the lawsuit, whether a certified bar lawyer or maybe even people who don't have a bar license who know how to do amicus briefs. Anyway, it was all the way back in like 2005 when I first learned about software development. I bought an ebook by an author named Benjamin Prater, who actually knew Bill Gates of Microsoft personally when he was younger. The book was called Software Secrets Exposed. And I read this a bunch of times. And what it was a book on software development explaining the back scenes truth about Microsoft. And the real deal about Microsoft is that Bill Gates was just a lot more savvy about intellectual property law protections and legal measures than his competitors. There were other people making operating systems who didn't look at life as realistically as Bill Gates did and missed their opportunity to capitalize. Anyway, Bill Gates, I don't know exactly how much he's worth. I think it's something like, many billions of dollars, enough to buy a Ferrari every 3 seconds in compound interest. But the way he got this rich was from information marketing, intellectual property law, and sending out CDs with information on it with like a 5,000% markup. It only costs $1 to print those CDs. And Microsoft was selling them at anywhere from $50 to $500 each as intellectual property licensed assets and commercial software. So I read this book on software development, and it explained very clearly that you can outsource software. You don't have to read 10,000 books of code like they're trying to teach everybody to do in college these days. It's totally fraudulent to say that you'll get anywhere in the world by just learning new codes, unless you want to get some internship at Google and aspire just to be another worker for a big tech company. So anyway, right away when I got into intellectual property law or in software development, I knew right away Microsoft was exposed, because I've always been a writer. I've always been a wordsmith. I've been interested in poetry, and I've read these sources, and I like words, and I consider myself a wordsmith, a writer. I'm not a ditch digger by profession. I'm more of an intellectual worker. I work with words and concepts and ideas. It has its ups and downs, but that's how life panned out for me. Anyways, so the exposed intellectual property for Microsoft is their thesaurus language packs. Right away, I was using Microsoft, and you can right-click on any word, and you can see that it brings up 10 or 15 synonyms. So what I did is I created an .exe file. I had it outsourced online on a freelancer site. It was called Rent-A-Coder back in the day. Now it's called Freelancer. And I just had a guy make an .exe file that did a simple upgrade on the Microsoft language packs, which would return a whole lot more synonyms and related words than the regular thesaurus, and have convenient checkboxes next to them, and some other cool features like sorting for pith. So I tried to market this software to the marketing community. I was just another internet marketer living in my parents' condo in El Cerrito, California, working day and night, 15, 17 plus hours per day, trying to do something, anything, 100% legal online and ethical. I sincerely and seriously wanted to help every customer and client that purchased a product from me. And so I was trying to explain, hey, if you write things on the internet, your whole profession is being a wordsmith. There's so much competition out there, and you have to stand out one way or the other with your writing, because there's something like 100 million new blog posts added every day. So I waded into the fray, into the internet marketing battle, and I did get a whole lot of credibility in the form of feedback. I spent weeks and months and years getting real credible feedback from professionals in all different fields, ranging from MBAs to professional copywriters, children's book writers, and songwriters, because my software has a rhyming feature, which makes it the most powerful lyrics writing software ever imagined. Meaning if you want to write a song about love, you could just type in the word love, brainstorm an exponential number of synonyms, like you'll get 100 back instead of like 10 or 15 that you normally would get back. And then you can, in one click, find all the rhyming words. So it's an absolute killer piece of software, no matter how you cut it, because it's CPU, computer-powered leverage, that helps your brain. Call it artificial intelligence, call it an algorithm, call it what you want. I, Jesse Gilbert, am not a huge fan of geek speak because I know that this idea of algorithms and artificial intelligence are like 80 to 90% bullshit. Some of it's true. Algorithms are used for Google, and there is kind of such a thing as artificial intelligence, but it's vastly, vastly exaggerated, and it's a propaganda tool to claim that a machine can become alive. It's a scare tool and a tool of control that more computer-inclined people, I won't use the word nerds, but let's just say whatever. You get the picture. Those type of people, I think they exaggerate the words artificial intelligence and algorithms to a huge degree, when the fact is that the most powerful business tool you can have is my software, Brainstorm Pro. Now, what it allows you to do, and you can see it online at my site, is you can brainstorm 5 terms at a time instead of 1, get back 10 to 15 to even 25 times as many synonyms and related words, all pre-sorted for pith, and also with a built-in rhyming feature next to it. So what this means is if you're trying to find intellectual property assets, which are worth every bit as much as bars of gold stuffed in a Swiss bank, you can spend hours with this software. It's really, really, really hard to find great domain names today at an affordable price, but I've done it over and over again with my software and with my hard work and dedication to brainstorming. I have a bunch of examples for names I've got, but I'll just give you one. AutoYurt.com. It's a long story, but the only women I've ever dated were Mongolian, both of them actually, the only long-term relationships I've had. And so I became interested in Mongolian culture, and I ended up studying it and reading about Genghis Khan and the history of the 12 and 1300s. And I became interested in that technology, the Mongolian longbow and the yurt and the strategies that the Mongolians used for speed and mobility for their meteoric rise, the growth of the Mongol Empire, which covered the entire Middle East in an astoundingly short amount of time, something like 50 to 100 years. So that really fascinated me. How could I learn and apply Mongolian battle strategies for speed and mobility to the internet marketing world and intellectual property law in order that I might make a business that conquers the tech world? So I came to the conclusion that you kind of have to do it with the sole proprietorship model, because if you go the typical corporate America LLC model, you have to deal with all these partners and all these decision makers and vice presidents and shareholders and all these people telling you what you can do before you even send out one email. You know, they want to be so politically correct and they don't want to risk offending any group because they only care about as many customers as possible. They call their customers users. I prefer to call the people who pay me money clients. customers are clients, not users. I want long-term clients who, of their free volition, pay me money on a continual basis because they consider my brand and services superior to others on the market. For whatever reason, whether it's in terms of ethics, politics, brand quality, technology quality, whatever. So as part of my work, I did end up working with some very, very, very serious experts in the field of branding. Two African-American men who had worked with 3M Corporation named David Dorsey and Clarence Steptoe. The only investment I had was like something like $2,000 to $2,500. And we brainstormed, and I got to learn something like a combined 40 years of branding marketing experience from 3M Corporation, which is, I think, considered by some or many the most successful inventions marketing corporation of all time. This is not a little kid's game. This was like brutal, brutal work with serious consequences, meaning your ego gets really, really hurt because it shoots down your perception of what you think is real and what will work in the market. And there are actual physical health dangers to trying to make market-beating products. It's not the same as being a professional athlete and training in the gym every day. It's a different form of gymnastics. It's mental gymnastics and fusion brainstorming, like a meeting of the minds, which occurs after very long, very intense, and sort of a form of violent mental conflict over culture and perception. So I learned a lot from David and Terrence, and we developed the name Gizmowl, a contraction of the words gizmo plus owl, as a potential brand for the robotics market, the future AI and robotics market. That term, artificial intelligence and robotics, is on the radar and in the media of every last outlet in the world. And this brand conveys intelligence, the owl, and robotics in the term of a gizmo. And it's the most pithy and contracted brand name possible. There have been robotics owls in Hollywood movies like Clash of the Titans. They had one called Bubo. And then also in Blade Runner, there was a big corporate executive who had robotic owls. So it's a very serious concept for the drone markets. There's also a very big revolution in drones called biomimetic drones, which means they're drones that mimic birds and not the quadcopter models. So, of course, having a drone with a head that rotates 360 degrees like an owl and has night vision is a lethal innovation in branding. And, of course, brand name counts. These people that try to trick you with their chicanery and bloated tech company valuations, trying to claim that a company with a name like TobyBot is worth $20 billion just because some technology media said so and that they got a round of funding from venture capitalists, they're absolutely lying. They're totally guilty of fraud. There's no way you can value a robotics invention at $20 billion if it doesn't have immediate consumer appeal. It's just something to potentially automate business. And if any consumer uses it, it's like a day or two's worth of entertainment. You know how it goes with toys. They can grow old pretty quick. So that business didn't exactly work out. We had our disagreements and split up. I tried to be as fair as possible considering my background and took 51% equity, giving the other three founders 49%. There was a woman involved with also 20 to 30 years experience in branding and animation from companies like Disney, Pixar, and Electronic Arts. So we're very, very serious people working in the South Bay Area in Hayward. So our plan didn't work out and I had to go it alone. But I persisted and I came up with the name AutoYurt because I was interested in affordable housing technologies. So auto yurt is a combination of the words automobile plus yurt. And when I was looking at names, I was thinking of something like instant yurt or portable yurt, etc. And I was playing around with my Brainstorm Pro software and I found the word auto yurt. Just this one word from my brainstorming software, which people tried to devalue as not even worth $25, just the term auto yurt, to attach it to a car in terms of the DNA of the product, is potentially a $100 billion plus innovation. It's not an exaggeration. These are the stakes in robotics and future living technologies. It's on everybody's radar. Everyone wants eco-friendly, affordable housing solutions that are commercially viable and look nice, are aesthetically attractive. Auto yurt fits every last one of these fields. It's a Mongolian style yurt with the center pole in the middle. If you've ever seen them, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, go to Google Images and look it up. It'll take you all of 90 seconds to understand what I'm talking about. And the center pole can be used to plug in electronics now. This will be like a high-tech theme on the yurt. And there's also been a second hatch added in to make it an auto yurt, meaning you get access to your vehicle and it can fit on top of your vehicle. So this is realistically the number one market buster in robotics and next generation living space technologies. Artificial intelligence too. Everything can be voice activated in the yurt, including inflatable pneumatics furniture. What I'm doing is working with pneumatics technology, which is a really big topic that very few people talk about, but it's potentially very exciting, the idea of using compressed air combined with electricity in next generation technology for a whole bunch of reasons. It's a very, very powerful concept, and I've read a few books on it. So auto yurt is just one of my innovations, and it's definitely a real estate market dominator. And intelligent real estate investors who want to do things like capitalize on adverse possession squatter laws can invest in these. 3 auto yurts, 5 auto yurts, 10 auto yurts. Pay some students or even some people who are homeless and need a place to stay. Pay them to go squat on land that's not being used for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever the laws are, and try to claim it as your own land if nobody makes a legal claim. This is a huge innovation in affordable, quote-unquote, housing technology. But I'm not calling it housing solutions because it's not a house. The term housing means 4 roofs and a ceiling. And this technical term to describe the problem is, I believe, intentionally and internationally used to preclude out-of-the-box solutions and support really outrageously bloated government infrastructure and excessive paperwork that nobody in their right mind wants to deal with. I personally would not want to buy a house and pay a mortgage forever for a piece of land that I don't really own, when I could have an ultra-mobile auto yurt ranging from 30 feet to 90 feet or more in diameter and pitch up on any land I want, with being able to move in a matter of 1 to 2 days pack up right off of my vehicle. Some of the yurt models may require more than inflation. There can be plastic models too, but it's sound architectural design. The yurt with 2 entrances and the trunk access, it's 1,000 times better than these mini houses that you see in the media. And it's even applicable to moon rover technology and Mars rover technology if we ever go there. Absolutely, auto yurt is the killer invention to fit on the moon rover and provide encampment solutions in really cold weather in places like the moon. The ports to the vehicles can be sealable, electro-pneumatic. And the yurt is just a really great structure. You can picture astronauts in a round dome-shaped structure with a center pole support, plugging in their electronics and computers and doing all their work and managing their soil samples and whatnot. So, yeah, everybody's been talking about artificial intelligence and multi-trillion dollar solutions, and Otto Yurt is definitely a contender by any fair consumer comparison. So, despite all my hard work and my honest work and my ethical work, all I've done is 100% legally and ethically to upgrade Microsoft intellectual property IP assets with derivative works laws. You can look up the term derivative works on Wikipedia, and you can see all the definitions of what's fair use and what's significant differentiation. And you can see I've changed it. I didn't even consult a lawyer. I looked around at some thesaurus licensing options, but the fact is the Microsoft libraries are by far the best, and I just didn't have the money or investment to invest $5,000 or $10,000 a year from something like WinterTree for some much weaker library, or to use one of the open source ones. Microsoft did a really good job on it, and I've significantly differentiated it a whole lot, meaning I have more than 10 times as many terms and rhyming results. So all I really say to Microsoft and Bill Gates is, if you got a problem with it, kiss my ass. I'll see you in court. People, in my opinion, I mean, it is intelligent to have some fear of lawyers and law, but not really. I mean, 100 pages of legalese from Microsoft doesn't really intimidate me when I know that I'm doing something good and that I'm backed by derivative works laws and case law precedents. They got their intellectual property from public domain Rajet's thesauruses. So they compiled their intellectual property off of public domain works and previous works. Nothing illegal about it. Everybody in business does it and innovates on the last person. It's like fashion. You have to innovate on things that have worked before and upgrade them and make new things. So despite all this, I've been slandered and defamed as completely crazy and mentally incompetent. I had a legal issue. It's a long story that I can discuss in detail later, but it involved someone attempting to entrap me with a Craigslist sex worker at a bachelor party when I said, no, I'm not interested, like 15 times. In my view, when you come from a $125,000 private school education spanning 13 years and 2 hours per day on the bus, and all the stress and expectations of a private school and class, and then working for over 5 years, 17 hours per day at a computer screen with $35 overdraft fees and compound interest, crushing you, crushing your spirit as you try to work and stay awake, to involve yourself with a $400 sex worker from Craigslist is a completely lethal, immoral, scummy form of folly. A totally ridiculous attempt at pretty much murder in the first degree by forcing that on me when I said no. Even if I didn't get an STD, and it is illegal to purposely infect somebody with an STD in California and confer civil liabilities, I don't want a naked woman from Craigslist rubbing herself on me, even if I have pants on. Let alone the other things that transpired at that party, which I won't get graphic here, but in my opinion, it's just really, 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 really immature and really stupid to have a $400 Craigslist worker and their fluids in direct contact with your lips. But I was named as some sort of uptight asshole for not wanting any part of this and for having something to say about it, even years later. I sought to make peace with the person who did this. I actually tried to involve them in the investment offer to capitalize on these Microsoft assets because it was very hard work to figure out how to do it alone. Even though it's not extremely complex coding, the logistics of it and the fear and the attempts to mass market it and make it popular could definitely benefit from venture capital. I wasn't even asking for that much venture capital, even something like $100,000, literally $100,000, and I could make this thing get probably 1 million clients within a week or two. I mean, all it takes is like some Facebook ads, some Twitter ads, and some copywriting, and, you know, casting a wide net for everybody who's into copywriting and advertising, and getting them using my SaaS, software as a service, and then charging for upgrades. It's good business. It really does help people with the hardest aspects of marketing that they need. And so I made this offer to the people who had attempted to essentially genocide me with this prostitute off of Craigslist. Even if they didn't get me with a disease, they would have created compromising materials. Yes, there were potentially hidden cameras in the room. And yes, there would have been endless gossip. And yes, there was a loaded six-shooter revolver in the room carried in the duffel bag of their manager. I don't know if you've seen the movie Very Bad Things with Christian Slater, a Hollywood flick about two-faced Machiavellian quote-unquote friends and bachelor parties. But the results can be very, very, very serious, as in murder in the first degree charges and a whole lot of time in prison. So I don't feel one bit badly about being honest and open about this attempt to essentially murder me and all of my hard work with this sort of pawn. So moving on, I had a pretty vicious court case. I was accused of terrorist threats for maybe saying something not very nice after my three or more attempts to make peace via collaborative business, which did not receive any response to the email, even though I think it was worded reasonably intelligently. It was like three emails to a female named Vanessa Mandel, who works for a venture capital firm in SF, or she worked for them at a time, and Ito Ripstein, a commercial real estate investor. And that was the family. That was my social circle. That was part of my social circle that I was having major issues with. So they didn't respond. And I think I said something like along the lines of like, get fucked, whatever. And they reported me and had me arrested as terrorist threats. I have no idea how you would not respond to something like an investment for $100,000 on a totally legal, ethical, sane, and intelligent plan to capitalize on Microsoft assets and create valuable business tools for the business world. Anyway, so in jail, the police attempted to murder me. It's a really disgusting and unbelievable story. You wouldn't even believe the truth if I told you it's so lewd and bizarre. But in Santa Rita, Dublin, California jail, literally, if you ask for your PC 851.5 rights to counsel, you may be targeted for use of lethal force and a toxic lethal injection. They are that arrogant and violate the law with that much impunity that they are literally killing prisoners using Axon tasers and falsifying coroner's autopsy reports. And they're getting assistance from Axon Enterprises and evidence.com with felony forensics fraud video editing to absolve the police of all misconduct. Anyway, this is it for the first recording. Stay tuned, and I'll give you another recording in a few minutes.